Our scripture lesson is from Galatians chapter 3, page 947, towards the back of your Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. This is one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Galatia. And his letters are often structured in two parts. The first part, he likes to tell us about Jesus, what Jesus did. And then the second half is when he says to us, well, since Jesus did that, this is what it means for our lives. So he is explaining that, what it means to be Christ and how to follow Jesus. When he refers to the law in this little passage, he's referring to the Ten Commandments and all of the Jewish laws that the Jewish people would have been following that time. So this is what Paul writes, beginning at verse 23. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God beyond answers, Lord beyond words, Spirit beyond imagining, move in us today. Amen. We're thinking about clothes this morning. And some of us spend a lot of time thinking about clothing, shopping, deciding what to wear in a day, coordinating. We want to make sure things match. Washing. We have to take care of our clothes, don't we? In so many ways and in so many settings, our clothes say a lot about us. So many professions actually have clothes that identify that profession. We saw that with the kids. It was so easy for them to know in a second what these people did in their lives because of what they wore. The military alone are easily identifiable, and those uniforms, to me, I don't know a lot about the military, so I see military uniform and I see military, but people who are in them know precisely the difference between what the Army, the Navy, they all have very specific identifiers to them for folks who know all about the various branches of the military. The day of the week or the time of the day will determine what clothes we choose. Will I be sitting at my desk all day, or do I have an appointment with an important client? Am I going to dinner straight from work? And if I am, what kind of restaurant are we going to? Do I have to walk all over campus today, or will I be in the library all day? And then there's church. I love how differently we dress now than when I was a kid. When I was a kid, women would never wear pants to church, right? Some of you remember those days. We would never have worn pants, and men would only have worn suits, with a jacket, and a tie. But now, I'm so glad it's not like that anymore. I hear from people who have to wear suits and professional clothes all week that for them, Sunday is a chance to wear polo shirts and comfortable pants. And for those who are casual all week long, church, Sunday is a chance to wear a nice dress or a collared shirt. Most of the time, our clothes do serve to define us and to distinguish us from each other. But then there are times when our clothes serve to help us blend in and not stand out. The military, again, they all wear the same things so that they are seen as a unit. School uniforms totally takes off the pressure from the kids of what am I going to wear and for the opportunity to pigeonhole and judge based on somebody's clothes. Judges wear the robe so that they are seen just as themselves, not by what they wear. Pastors, we wear the robe for the same reason, so that you are paying more attention to what we are saying than what we are wearing. The clothes that we wear can also change our mood, affect our mood, determine our mood. Have you heard of this, the woman, I don't know, the KonMari method for decluttering your house? What is her name? I don't remember her name. But when she talks about going to your closet and organizing and cleaning out your closet, she says that what you should do is take every item of clothing, look at it, and ask the question, does this spark joy for me? And if it doesn't, if that piece of clothing doesn't actually bring you joy, out it goes. It's true that we all have favorite outfits, don't we, that give us comfort or confidence or the opposite. We have some clothes that make us uncomfortable and make us self-conscious. In the Bible, in the New Testament in particular, the Apostle Paul uses the image of clothing a number of times. Most of the time, he is encouraging us to put on qualities that will express our gratitude to Christ for his dying for us. He is often writing to churches that need encouragement and upbuilding and advice. Since Christ has loved us so much that he died for us, we should then live lives that reflect that love, so that when people wonder, what does it mean to follow Christ, it's easy to see what a blessing it is and we'll want to know more. So we are to clothe ourselves with righteousness, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are all the things that Christians should be putting on. These are really excellent qualities that will serve us well in all arenas of our life, at home, at school, in politics, at church. And then there's the armor of God. You know that section in Ephesians, we put on the belt of truth, the shoes of readiness, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. But today we hear something different. This is what we hear today. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We are now not putting on qualities, we're actually putting on Christ. And putting on Christ here has to do with baptism. And when Christians talk about baptism, we are talking about identity, belonging. Even more, which is not just who we are, but whose we are. Who do we belong to? And this is an identity that shapes and possibly changes everything. Back in April, a little piece of news came to the Anglican Communion. So the Anglican Communion is the Anglican Church in England, which are the predecessors to the Episcopalian Church here in America. The Anglicans have an archbishop. He's the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's like the Pope for Anglicans and Episcopalians. The Archbishop of Canterbury is the person who actually crowns the Queen or the King of England. So that's how important they are. Well, the current Archbishop, his name is Justin Welby, discovered that his biological father was someone different than he thought it was. And both his biological father and the father whose name he has are dead. But still, this information became public, and so he and his mother released statements to the press, sharing information as well as their personal reflections on this. And here's part of the statement that Justin Welby made. He writes this: "My own experience is typical of many people. To find that one's father is other than imagined is not unusual. To be the child of families with great difficulties in relationships with substance abuse or other matters is far too normal. I know that I find who I am in Jesus Christ, not in genetics. And my identity in Him never changes. Although there are elements of sadness and even tragedy in my father's case, this is a story of redemption and hope from a place of tremendous difficulty and near despair in several lives. It is a testimony to the grace and power of Christ to liberate and redeem us, grace and power which is offered to every human being. At the very outset of my inauguration as Archbishop 3 years ago, a young member of the Canterbury Cathedral congregation said, 'We greet you in the name of Christ. Who are you and why do you request entry?' To which I responded, 'I am Justin, a servant of Jesus Christ, and I come as one seeking the grace of God to travel with you in His service together.' Justin says, 'What has changed?' 'Nothing. There is no existential crisis for me and no resentment against anyone. My identity is founded in who I am in Christ.'" Yes. Yes. It should be so for all of us as well. But our baptism, our being clothed with Christ, is not just a personal matter. Baptisms are a sacrament of the church and say more about our relationships here than about God's relationship to us as individuals. Listen to what comes next in our reading for today. After we are baptized and we are clothed with Christ, "Therefore, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, there is no longer slave nor free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." When our identity is in Christ, it changes more than just our personal lives. It changes society and the world we live in, because Christ is the great equalizer. The issue for the church Paul is writing to here is that since Jesus was Jewish, do those who follow him have to be Jewish first and then followers of Christ? Or can you just go straight to following Jesus? Paul's answer is, those distinctions don't matter anymore. Follow Christ, and you are automatically heirs of the promises declared before you ever knew them. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you wear, it doesn't matter. In Christ, it all becomes new. Your identity is shaped by the one who gives himself in sacrificial love. As we wear that identity, we become more and more than conformed to him who loves us with this love that we cannot comprehend, because it includes everyone, absolutely everyone. Maybe you saw a video a while back. A school in England, elementary school, children ages 5 through 7 were asked to draw a surgeon, doctor, a firefighter, and a fighter pilot. So the kids were asked to do this, and the teacher was asking them along the way about their drawings and were saying, "What's the name? What's this person's name?" They were saying names like Gary and Simon and John, all men's names. And then they asked the kids, "Do you want to actually meet a doctor and a firefighter and a fighter pilot?" And they jumped up and went, "Yes!" And then in walk, in uniform, yep, you guessed it right, 3 women. And you can just see the whole class. This is such a touching video. They just, you can hear the, and the silence, and their faces are big, and their eyes are open. Wow. We are so quick to put people in categories, to draw lines around who can go where and who can do what. We don't mean to, but in some ways it is trained in us at a young age, even in these days when we feel that we are so enlightened and we are so aware of how wrong that is, still it happens. But the Bible says, no, not that. No, go out of your way to welcome all people who are one in Christ anyway. You know that saying, the dress for the job you want, not for the job you have? Yeah? What if we think about our Christian lives that way? What if we put on Christ because he's who we want and what we want and what the world needs? Let's dress for that. Yeah. Amen. I invite you to turn to the blue insert. You know, the Apostles' Creed was written for baptism. And so we could say that this creed is the creed of our baptism. It was written for people to be able to say, I'm putting on Christ, and this is who he is. So I invite you, as you are able, to rise and join me as we share these words, the creed, yes, of our baptism. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.